Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. My name is Edgar Lujano, producer for the show, filling in for these first few minutes of the show. Today we have Drop Calls with Carlo, Dr. Carlo, might I add, with his new YouTube channel. Carlo, how's it going?
Edgar, it's going well, man. It's great to be on with you guys.
It's always great to have you on, and especially now since you have your new YouTube channel on. That thing has grown pretty quickly, isn't it?
Yeah, we got a pretty good momentum going right out the gate here just for a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks now. And so I'm pretty excited about it, looking forward to growing the channel, interacting with folks, and getting some new episodes out. I think people are going to really enjoy it, and people are already enjoying it and have offered some very positive feedback about the channel. So it's pretty exciting. And then we also have our Patreon community over at drcarlo.com with Dr. spelled out.
All right, well, there you have it. If you want more of Dr. Carlo, go to that YouTube channel, check that out. But today we're doing drop calls, so no calls today. We'll be just taking all the questions that that Carlo has compiled for us. You had this genius idea of just compiling all the questions that we were not able to get to, especially the people who had dropped off. So let's start going through them. What do you say?
All right, let's do it. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Let's start off. Let's go to Fernando, who was listening, who was from Trenton, New Jersey, listening on the EWTN app. He asks, how can I answer someone who isn't Catholic and the only solution is IVF?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to say in response is to affirm the good intention to want to have a child, and that establishes common ground. And so we want to affirm that. However, we do need to share with folks that in vitro fertilization is an immoral act. It's contrary to God's design for our human sexuality and the sexual act itself, and what God intends the sexual act to bring about, namely procreation or the conception of a child. The basic reason why it's immoral is for that very reason, it's violating the order of nature as willed by God. And even more specifically, in vitro fertilization is immoral precisely because it usurps the conjugal agency of the spouses to achieve conception. In other words, it separates the unitive aspect of the sexual act from the procreative, which nature intends to always be united. So we could sum up the argument against in vitro fertilization as follows. Premise one, to usurp the role of conjugal agency, and that's just a fancy phrase for the spouses being the causes of conception together in the sexual act. That's what that means. So again, to usurp the role of conjugal agency to bring about conception, which is what takes place in IVF, is to violate the order of nature. It's to act against nature. It's to violate the very order of nature willed by God for the sexual act and procreation. Premise two, to violate the order of nature is immoral because you're acting against the divine will as expressed in nature. And so therefore the conclusion, to usurp the role of conjugal agency in bringing about conception, which is what IVF does, is immoral. Now, for a couple of resources for folks who are watching or listening in to learn more about the reasoning involved behind this teaching of the church against IVF or on the immorality of IVF, I would recommend the congregation then called Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith's document, Donum Vitae. And this was from, I think it was 1987. Yes, Donum Vitae 1987. And the congregation there has a section where it lays out sort of the philosophical and theological rationale behind the church's teaching against in vitro fertilization. I would also recommend a journal article in the journal Nova et Vetera by Dr. Irene Alexander from the University of Dallas. It's entitled, "Is Artificial Impregnation Opposed to the Unity of Marriage? A New Look at the Question of Embryo Adoption." She's dealing specifically with embryo adoption, but the logic and the reasoning that she employs as to why embryo adoption, like adoption of frozen embryos, is immoral, is the very same logic and reasoning that the church employs to reject IVF. And so I would recommend that article by Dr. Alexander, as well as a more popular interview that she did online and a YouTube video entitled Embryo Adoption Part 2 that you can find on YouTube. So that's how I would answer that question, in short, at least.
Perfect. Well, Fernando, hopefully that question, that answer was helpful. Let's go to an early break, and when we come back, we're gonna get to some more drop calls right here on Catholic Answers Live with Dr. Carlo.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Well, I don't think we're like the typical college students, because we really hang out at our campus ministry and everything. It's amazing about how much more connected you feel. We share really cool articles from actually you guys, EWTN, and like what you were saying about evangelization. So that's really nice.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Carlo Broussard, our guest, and drop calls. This is Carlo's invention. He invented the drop call. Save up the drop calls and we'll do them because they're good. And this was a good example of one. And this is probably one, Carlo, where in an ideal world we would get to talk with Brian, because this question comes from Brian in Tampa, Florida, who was listening on our website, Catholic.com, because I imagine you would have some follow-up questions. But nonetheless, a very interesting question, and I'm glad that we saved it. Here's what Brian wanted to know. Do Catholics minimize consent? The example, just because a person consents to sex does not mean they consent to impregnation. What do you say about that, Carl?
Okay, yeah. So to the first question, do Catholics minimize consent? The short answer is no. However, at the same time, we do have to recognize that consent is not the end-all be-all, as if it's the only moral criterion sufficient for moral good human behavior. Consent always presupposes a prior moral framework. I cannot consent to you doing something that we already know is an immoral behavior. I can't consent to you going steal your neighbor's car, right?
Right.
Because stealing your neighbor's car presupposes a moral framework in which that action is immoral, and I cannot consent to you doing what we already know to be immoral. And this is a problem within our modern ethical worldview and way of thinking about ethics based upon consent. Most people totally throw out the prior presupposed moral framework of things and just focus on the consent. As long as two people consent, well, then it's okay. Well, no, not necessarily.
Right.
And I have a couple of articles on this site at Catholic.com where I deal with the logic of consent as it relates to morality, generally speaking, but more specifically, the sexual act. One article is entitled "The Moral Logic of Sexual Consent." and the other is the moral limits of consent. Now, with regard to the example that Brian gives, he says just because a person consents to sex does not mean they consent to impregnation. Well, that is true as stated, but I think we have to think through that a little bit more because it's ambiguous as to what the implication of the example is. So it is true that just because somebody consents to the sexual act does not mean they're consenting to impregnation. But I think the real question needs to be, if we're going to take this within a moral analysis, what's the circumstances of the no consent to impregnation? If the circumstances are involving the act of contraception, to where a couple is consenting to the sexual act, but not consenting to impregnation insofar as they were voluntarily, willfully thwarting the procreative aspect of the sexual act, thwarting the achievement of conception while voluntarily engaging in the sexual act, then that act of contraception is immoral. That act of consent to not be impregnated would be immoral. Now contrast that with a couple who is utilizing natural family planning, where they do not consent to impregnation insofar as they have judged not getting pregnant right now is the best thing for them, given whatever factors within their life circumstances. And let's assume there's justified reasons to not conceive a child at that moment. And they engage voluntarily in the sexual act during the woman's infertile period. And we know that by nature, during that time period, conception will not occur. So it is true that they're not consenting to impregnation, like they're not wanting it at that moment for justified reasons, but they were doing nothing to violate the order of nature. They were doing nothing to act against the order of nature by voluntarily thwarting nature's purpose or goal of the sexual act, namely conception. And insofar as they are acting in a way, engaging in the sexual act in a way that's consistent with the order of nature, which is an expression of the divine will itself, well, then there is no immorality in the sexual act of itself because it's acting in accord with nature. Now, maybe they're selfish in their reasons, but remember, in this supposition, we already assume they have justified reasons and they're not being selfish. So in that scenario, there would be no immorality involved when they're not consenting to impregnation. Whereas in the scenario of using contraception or engaging in contraceptive acts, then the no consent to impregnation takes on the form of immoral behavior.
Brian, thank you for the question. It is a very important question. It's interesting, Carlo, when you talk about that there's a moral context for our acts that goes beyond our consent. I think just a lot of people just don't believe that anymore. They just think
it's true.
If I say it's okay to do, then that's it. That's all that's required. Nobody else gets any say. Not even God gets any say in this.
Right. And that's a manifestation of moral relativism still lurking within our culture. And then there's sort of a partial moral relativism to where somebody might counter and say, well, it's not just what you say. It's as long as whatever you're doing with the other person, that the other person consents. And therein you have the seeds of what we call cultural moral relativism, or as some philosophers will call it, society says, where a consent among a group of individuals is what constitutes upright moral permitted behavior, as opposed to the more radical view of moral relativism, which is I say moral relativism. As long as I say it's okay, it's okay. In this case, it's more of a cultural or a version of cultural moral relativism. And we actually have arrows in the quiver and responses to that version of moral relativism as well, in order to show that a consent of individuals is not what determines what is right or wrong human behavior. And for more information on that side, I deal with these two different versions of moral relativism in my book, The New Relativism, Unmasking the Philosophy of Today's Woke Moralists.
Did you see me looking for it? While you were talking, I was looking for a copy of it. I know I got it here.
Did not see you.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. The New Relativism, Unmasking the Philosophy of Today's Woke Relativists. There's a copy of it right there.
I am flattered that you have a copy of my book at your desk, man.
Oh, yeah. I have a copy of every single one of your books. Oh, no, I don't think I have the baptism book because we gave it away yesterday. Remember the lady came into the studio and we gave it to her, but we'll get it in here. All right, this next question came from Mackenzie, who calls from time to time from Pasco, Washington. And I don't know if you want to read the Bible quote or want me to read it that Mackenzie gives, but Mackenzie asks this: what's the Catholic response to the claim that Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 20 through 21 argues against original sin?
Yeah, go ahead and read it for me.
Okay, so those passages are: the soul that sins dies. The Son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the Father, nor the Father suffer for the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself.
All right. Yeah, so this is a good question, because the implication is the prior understanding that's driving the question is what is revealed to us, that death enters into human history on account of Adam's sin. So that teaching of death being a consequence of Adam's sin, death for all of humanity being a consequence of Adam's sin, would seem to run against or count against what Ezekiel says here in verse 20 of chapter 18. And I think in response, like on the surface, I concede that there seems to be a conflict here and a contradiction. But in reality, there is no contradiction or conflict. What God is getting at here through Ezekiel is that no son shall receive direct imposed suffering on account of the sin of the father. So take, for example, the father, let's say we go in a courtroom. And we have in the courtroom a criminal who is standing for trial, who is guilty as charged of the crime. And then the judge says, on account of your crime, Mr. Criminal,